this right now. Check this out.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Yo, welcome to Thursday night on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313 live on Open Talk Radio 313. I'm your host of Southwest Texas Day Day Cruise, and always I'm with my brother, Greg DeMarc. What's going on, brother? You excited for tonight?
Good evening. I am indeed.
Yes, man. We got such a special guest, man, and you know, it's hard to get names like that, especially with the legacy that, you know what I'm saying, that he holds. One of the last wrestlers to ever study out of the Heart Dungeon, along with Natalya and Tyson Kidd. You know? Yes. He was one of the last ones. And such a talented star at that, man. Such a talented wrestler. But, you know, with I'm going to use a Spider-Man quote, with such great power, there's big responsibility. And you know, it's great that we're gonna be able to have this name and get a whole bunch of knowledge. You know, as such as me and you, Greg, you know, we get the privilege to go around with a lot of wrestlers and go under the learning tree, such as we do with Briar when we go to his house. We get that kind of leniency tonight, you know, with this guy. Teddy Hart tonight, guy, is our guest. A lot of people are saying, I'm going to say, because we're rated on, we don't give a damn. You know, people are saying, don't book him, but you know what I mean? Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. We didn't have nothing to do with what he did. We don't even know it was true, but I mean, whatever. But we're going to talk about Teddy Hart's journey from the Hart Dungeon all the way to his WWE tryout, and then, you know, all the way to WrestleMania weekend when he had some controversy with one of our former guests also, John Wayne Murdoch. Now, it's going to be such a great show tonight. I'm so excited about it tonight. I'm just speechless about it. What are you thinking, brother?
Yeah, I am as well. This is going to be one of the more exciting episodes that we've had, for sure.
Oh, for sure, especially this year. I agree with you on that, especially this year. This year, we had great shows, but, I mean, today is going to be one of the greatest on this year. So, what do you think of Teddy Hart, Greg?
I'm actually a huge fan of Teddy Hart. I think it's one of the more tragic stories in the history of wrestling, almost the dark side of the ring story, in that maybe one of the greatest talents to never make it on a big level.
Right, and
was,
especially
you know,
as talented as
he was saved
as
before his time or what, and, you know, he was disliked for whatever reason. Some people didn't like his attitude, his confidence, whatever you want to call it. But, you know,
I mean,
it,
but
whatever it is, it held him back from becoming a star, which is why I think it's one of the more tragic stories. I think the guy is a total package type of wrestler, for, you know, can
no,
do
for
it
sure.
all.
For
and,
sure.
I mean, innovative physical talent as well.
Right. Right, no, but like I said, man, his controversy under every tree. Not one person in their life won't have controversy one way or another through hell and high water. But, I mean, to me, Teddy Hart is very talented. I want to ask him about the controversy also behind him losing the MLW middleweight championship to Myron Reed. And then, you know, because I heard through the grapevine that he wasn't ready to drop that MLW middleweight championship to Myron. So that's another thing also, man. But also, you know, Teddy Hart, as talented as he is, like you said earlier, I'm surprised that he's not signed. But it's always because of something. It's always because of something. You know, he comes from a big wrestling family, the Hart Foundation, the Hart Dungeon. You know what I'm saying? His uncle, Brett Nolan. You know what I mean? And just those two names alone in wrestling are two of the biggest names in the game. Let rest in peace Owen Hart, but Bret Hart, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Former WWE champion, Owen Hart, former Intercontinental champion, former European champion, former both Intercontinental champions, tag team champions, you know, the list goes on and on. Former King of the Ring. That's something
Damn,
I want to ask him about. Okay. Oh shit. But Teddy Hart, man. Like I was saying, guys, it's gonna be such. I can't say enough about him, man. I was talking to him during the week and during last week, and such a great guy. I don't see why a lot of people hate on this guy. I mean, like I said, stuff happens. People do stuff. You know what I'm saying? They learn from the lessons. They learn from the mistakes. I mean. But this guy is very talented, and he just, you know, stuff happens. I can't, you know, stuff happens when it comes down, you know, to it. But Teddy Hart is, you know, like I said, he's a Canadian professional wrestler. He's a former MLW middleweight champion, an MLW tag team champion, and just he's one of the biggest names in the indie circuits until all this controversy happened. But, I mean, it is what it is. You know, stuff happens. I still like Teddy Hart. He's a fucking great. He's a great wrestler. I've seen a few of his matches. Me and him talked about the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight. And you know, he's telling me how humble he is. And he seems like one of the most humblest guys I've ever talked to in the wrestling business since being in the business. One of the most humblest guys. But, yeah, if you guys want to give the Texan a call and give Greg Mark a call, give us a call. Area code 646-668-8672. Again, area code
646-668-8672. What up,
give
Southwest?
Give us a call. What's going on, Brother Taz? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good, man. Been pretty sick all week, but I'm getting back to 100%. Pretty soon, but I'm happy about this show, man. Happy to hear what you guys are going to talk about with Teddy. When do you want me to place that call?
If you want to try to call him now, that's fine. But I was going to see if you wanted to jump in and if you had a question or two for Teddy, man.
I'll have one ready just in case you toss it to me. But I don't want to step into y'all's spotlight.
No. You are the spotlight, man. What do you mean?
Come on, man.
You are the man.
Appreciate that, man. And guess what? You got some fans on the line too. We have Coco and Jason.
Oh, Those are two great ones. Oh, man. If you want, put them both on until Teddy gets on. Shoot, we can talk wrestling with both of them guys.
All right. I'll bring on Coco first, all right? And then I'll bring Jason on in 30 seconds.
Okay.
What's happening? It's the black man, Coco T. Ware. Founding leader.
Bro,
okay, save the people's band, baby. What's happening?
What's going on, Brother T. Ware? How's it going this week? How's your week so far? We're almost a Friday, but we're at Friday Junior. So what's going on with Mr. T. Ware this week?
Oh, it's like this week is like AJ Styles, baby. It's phenomenal. You feel what I'm saying?
I feel what you're saying because, man, I got my son on the way, and we were just, before the show, I was working on putting some of his stuff with his mama.
I hear that.
Yeah.
No, I got the sensational one standing right here next to me.
Oh, how's the sensational one? How's she doing?
Oh, she's doing phenomenal, but I'd rather her tell y'all herself. Baby, say hello to Brother Greg and Brother Dede and Brother Mateo. You want me to greet peasants? You want me to greet peasants? They should be greeting me. Where are their manners?
Hello, Queen. How are you doing today?
You address me as Her Majesty.
Her Majesty, how are you doing this fine evening? How are you doing?
I'm always sensational.
Always. You hear that, radio? Open Talk Radio? Your Highness is always sensational. And that is very true because the night that we all met at WrestleMania 37 last 2 weeks ago, man, such a great woman, such a sensational woman. Glad to have you back on to the show.
That's right. She is happy to be on. Remember last week, she was dealing with the common folk, doing her community service and appearances, playing Dungeons and Dragons with all the little K-State fans, and she pitied them, I tell you.
Hey.
But she was so sweet and so kind.
Hey, Brother T. Ware. Brother T. Ware, would you mind taking over the radio for a few seconds? I got Teddy on the line. Teddy Hart is on the line, and I want to see what she's ringing for.
Okay, absolutely. See, big yes to everybody. I am privileged. I am honored to be on the Radio I-313 podcast. I am the black man, Coco T. Ware, and I am the founder and leader of K-State, the People's Band, and that wonderful lady you just heard for a second ago was the Khaleesi of K-State. She's a five singer and a five bringer. Sensational Sweet Diddy, my wonderful Brad, and we got ourselves a wonderful cover band playing all your favorite wrestling theme songs. And so I'm real excited that Brother D-Day and Brother Greg the Mock and Brother Montez got ourselves Brother Teddy Hart of the wonderful Hart Dynasty family, baby. That's going to be phenomenal. He's done his thing in MLW and anywhere he steps his foot in any kind of wrestling company, baby. So we got ourselves a wonderful time. Just real quick before they come back on, the black man just had a thought. And maybe you all may have the same kind of question, but I'm just wondering what these referees, the male and female referees, if you start on Monday night, Charlotte Flair really put the lady lumber on that male referee. Now, I'm just wondering, how come the female wrestlers don't attack the female referees? What's going on with that? I think there's a conspiracy going on with that, baby. Just kind of throwing that out there, put that in your head. That'd be a worthy some debate, if you will. And speaking of the Hart family, just earlier today, the black man was looking at the very first inaugural King of the Ring, baby, and Bret Hart and in the semifinals, Brother Bret Hart and Brother Mr. Perfect had a phenomenal wrestling match. Talk about a five-star match if you're Dave Meltzer. That's one of them. All-time great wrestling matches, one of my personal favorites. They were just having fun in there. They weren't even wrestling. They were just having fun, you feel what I'm saying. And so anyway, Brother Martez still on the line. Did I hear Brother Martez at all?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, awesome, awesome. How you doing, brother Montez? So good to hear from you.
Good. Hey, likewise, man. You always get me hyped and excited. I don't know if Greg was going to jump in and say nothing, but...
Nobody appreciates the presence of Martez more than Greg DeMarc, and that's a fact.
Appreciate you,
man. That is true.
Yep. I've tried to hold down that job, and I can't do it. I cannot do it with any kind of efficiency like the man Martez, the greatest producer in any platform.
Hey, I still got a lot of work. I still got a lot of work to do, man. Y'all giving me too much love, man. I haven't earned my stripes yet all the way, so
just telling the truth, baby. You are the Vincent Kennedy McMahon of Block Talk Radio, baby, of all the radio speaking world. So don't you never forget that.
Heard. Okay, I appreciate it.
Baby. The king of the great mountain that is Block Talk Radio, Open Talk, 313 The Flash.
We try, man. But you brought up a good
King of the Detroit Wrestling Connection. He's you're too humble.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you.
The Texan is back on the line, brother Coco T. Wegg, brother Greg DeMarc. What's going on, guys? I was just on the line with Teddy Hart. He's going to be a little late. He's going to be on around 7:15, but that's fine and dandy like candy. So, you know it, Daddy. We're going to be on the line with Teddy Hart 7:15 tonight, guys.
Sweet.
Phenomenal. I can't wait. Looking forward to it. So, brother Day-Day, I posed a little question just a couple minutes ago. And so what I noticed on Monday night, Charlotte, after she lost the match, she took her anger out on the referees. But I noticed it's only the male referees that get all bucked and stuffed and trucked. You feel what I'm saying? I never see the females get mixed in there. Never see that. Help me out.
Don't know.
Is that an unspoken rule?
I'll bet it is.
You know, I have to agree. I have to.
Yeah, the female refs in WWE don't bump.
Because, female refs, they get trained just as tough as the next wrestler, the next fella up. You know, they get trained. They train just as hard as the guys. So I don't see why not.
I mean, that would be interesting. Now here's where the black man
said
was that.
I'm just saying, it's all about.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt. Forgive me.
Oh no, you good? I'm gonna say it quickly, and y'all might not like me after this, but it's all about protecting the female. That's how I look at it. That's what this whole world has become, protect the female. So I think that's what it is. You know, and it's also, I think, another effort to make the male look small or emasculate the male. That's just my outlook on it. Because
I agree both ways.
You're not going to see Mae Young get put through a table like, I mean, they did it for.
Right,
you ain't gonna see China beat Jeff Jarrett in a in a kitchen match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, good housekeeping. There won't be no. Yeah, definitely, we're in a different time. But I mean, I can't say I've seen it, but I could see like Aubrey Edwards in AEW taking a bump. She's a, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Great.
For sure, but dude. I agree with you on that. Aubrey's a fucking great. She's a great ref, dude. She is such a great ref.
Yeah.
So I could see that, or I could see that full-time one in NXT. She just
I've
came
never
out
to
seen Indy
her
I could see
I've
that.
Never seen the NXT female ref take a bump either.
No. But I could see it, dude. I could see this.
I pretty much agree with what Martez is saying. It's a different time and that, you know, they're a corporation, a PG, you know what I mean? I think it's exactly what Martez says it is.
No, for sure. But I have to agree with T. Ware, you know what I'm saying? Why not? They get trained just as, like I said, just as tough as the guys. They train just as tough as a guy, just as hard as a guy.
I think if you ask the female refs, they don't want to be treated any differently.
No, of course not. That's why they get into the game, not to fucking play ballerina around the ring and count a three count. Of course not.
We've seen a horror slam for at least the second time. TJ Meyer fought his girlfriend, you know?
Dude, I know. I've seen him on Antonio. Check out his YouTube channel, Antonio.
Donofrio.
What's his name on YouTube?
Donofrio.
Yeah, there you go. Donofrio. Check out Donofrio on YouTube. Like, share, and subscribe to his stuff, man. He got good angles. He's got good footage, man. He's up and coming. Check the kid out. Check him out.
Yeah.
And if you want to check out some Horace Mann early stuff, all the way to come some recent stuff TKW doing, check out Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 on YouTube. That's my channel also. But also a big shout out to our brothers, Pro Wrestling Edge, Nick the Goose, Big Cat, everybody over at Pro Wrestling Edge. Man, our brothers over there at Wrestling Rage. R2YouTube.com.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Definitely got to support all our fellow brethren, man.
Yep. Dude, but yeah, like I was saying, I was watching those matches on Antonio Frio stuff, man. And, dude, they tear it up in the ring, even though they're a couple, but... Hey, they tear that shit up in the ring. They put their business on the side, and they handle the business in the ring.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, that's a match.
And hey,
and that's what I mean. That's what I mean. I don't see why they don't do it. They need to let it be done. Stop, you know, not like that, but stop protecting them and let it happen.
True that.
Now, listen. Normally unintentional. I mean, you'll never see. I don't think, and again, like the Alexa Bliss and Randy Orton thing, that was like something saved for like a special occasion. You know what I mean? That was a one-off type of deal, him, you know, RKO and whatnot.
But they weren't even wrestling. They weren't even wrestling. It was like she put the fire in front of him at first. And then the only thing that really got physical, to be honest, is when she sat on him for the fucking pin. Because the Fiend's the one that fucked him up. But still, it wasn't really nothing, though.
It shocked
but
me.
Still,
I didn't think they would even go that far in the modern-day WWE.
No, but still, it wasn't really nothing, though. It wasn't the RKO, but... I even forgot about that. That's how unimportant that was.
Yeah, but in their match, like, that's why I was like, whoa, they're going to have a dude fight a chick. And they actually never really went down like that, and the Fiend made his return.
No,
it was actually not much
no,
fact, match to speak of between them. But I mean, inadvertently, they could save their image, and the female refs could take bumps even, but I don't think you'll ever see a male ref whoop up on a female ref over a decision or a missed call. Like, you know, even Charlotte was, you know, beating up on guy refs.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that it should happen no matter what. It's just like the dudes, they take one little hit and they fucking get knocked down. Zeke be taking bumps, though. But
yeah, I think it looks weird. That one, what's his name, Drake something, he was a deathmatch wrestler. But, dude, when that guy takes a baby bump and dies, like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, like, that's not even believable to me, because he's, like, he's a fucking beast. Look at him. He's the one WWE ref that definitely looks like he should be wrestling.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
Sure.
Drake something.
Yeah, I forget his name too, dude.
I know who you're talking about. He's a deathmatch icon, almost.
Yeah.
And now he's a WWE referee.
Yeah, that's. I'll bet you the WWE referee gig pays a lot better.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure, and that's just
the way it is. That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
That would be a fun one to talk to, and especially, like, ask your question, like, did you choose deathmatch wrestling or did it choose you? And, you know, how
yeah.
do you go
yeah.
from a proud, like you said, deathmatch icon to a ref in WWE who will die over the smallest bit of damage?
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? That's just crazy, and that just shows you that no matter what, you know, genre of wrestling that you do, you know, it's what you do with it. You look at him. He's a ref now. He was a deathmatch star. You know what I mean?
I have a sneaking suspicion that he didn't sign up to be a ref. I think he had a bigger outlook on what his role might be when he got that gig with WWE, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you at the same time, I mean, to be honest, you got to look at it this way. WWE is not going to push him. Well, not like that, because he's great talent outside of the – I'm pretty sure outside of WWE. You know what I mean? But you got to think about it. The mid card the most. But you got to think about the way WWE is right now. They're not going to use a deathmatch wrestler on their thing. They did with Jon Moxley, and look what they did to him. They ran him off to AEW, and you know, look at Jon Moxley now. One of the hottest things since Shoestring in the motherfucking wrestling ring. And he's about to go against Nick fucking Gage. I cannot wait till that match comes out. When that match is on, I will have my eyes glued to it like fucking glued to a fucking, I don't know. Because that's real death match wrestling. Because if you look at the preview of the Dark Side of the Ring Season 3, May 6th, I will be watching. They talk about Nick Gage and Jon Moxley was talking about Nick Gage and how fucking ruthless he is in the ring and how he was trying to tell him to slow down. He actually fucking took a pizza cutter, sliced him up in the forehead, and after they put him Nick Gage put him on the ropes, he said you could feel the excitement off of his body, dude. And he said that he took the pizza slicer and sliced him across his face, and Jon Moxley thought he had his tongue cut out.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, Nick fucking Gage versus fucking Jon Moxley, dude. Oh, I don't give a fuck what I have to pay. I will be paying it. I swear to God. That's
take
a match.
Money,
I swear
bro.
To God. I swear to exactly. Take my motherfucking money, dude, because of the simple fact is I've been waiting for this match since I've seen that Jon Moxley was in CZW. When I started finally following him, you know what I'm saying? As Jon Moxley, dude, oh my fucking Lord, dude. One of the best CZW champions, one of the best deathmatch wrestlers, dude. Turned WWE, fucking watered down him, and he fucking revived himself and went to AEW and became IWGP United States Champion, AEW World Champion. One of the hottest shoestrings in the motherfucking wrestling ring, dude. And now he's about to fucking face Nick fucking Gage, which I fucking have a shouting out the podcast both times, but one of them got taken down when I was on Soft Fuzzy Trade Elite Wrestling Podcast. But he shouted out the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast. Shout out to Nick motherfucking Gage, MDK. Let's get him on the fucking show one day. Hopefully, bro. But fucking dude, Nick Gage, Jon Moxley, everybody, order that fucking pay-per-view. That will change your perspective of on Deathmatch. Hopefully it's for the GCW World Heavyweight Championship. And, man, if it is, this is going to be one motherfucking crazy thing, because last year, before post-pandemic, Nick Gage was supposed to debuting AEW. I was waiting for that. I heard that rumor, and I'm like, fuck yeah. Nick Gage and AEW, bro, that's about to fucking change the game. Game-changing wrestling, GCW, motherfucking MGK all day. John Moxley versus fucking Nick Gage. I can't wait.
Dude, I'm not a big Nick Gage fan. I'm not huge on Nick Gage. I kind of was the whole spectacle of it, but dude, like, his thing is, like, he brawls and he cusses. That's, like, that's it. I don't get the whole Nick Gage hype. I think that it'll be a good brawl. I know, you know, he does crazy shit, but I don't know. I'm just not big on Nick Gage, and I don't think that he could get over on a big level.
If you pay attention to the RSP and Nick Gage match for the rematch for the GCW Heavyweight Championship, you'll see why.
Well,
because I heard RSP,
Nick Gage could cut a promo without saying the F word.
Fuck no, that's why you're going to go to fucking AEW.
That's what I'm saying. He's not. He wouldn't make it on a big stage. He can't cut a promo without saying the F word.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to change my mind on that. I believe Nick Gage probably can. He probably can, dude. You're going to get paid millions of dollars, dude, to be as probably to be as big as
AEW. Like without the F word.
Look it up. I don't know. I've seen one of his cameos. He could have stopped pressing. But, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is, though. Nick fucking Gage, I'm pretty sure dude in AEW could be as big as John Moxley. Look at Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston back in the day, I'm pretty sure he could cut a promo without the red bomb. But they're going to be getting paid.
Can cut a promo without cussing. You know what I mean? And Nick Gage can't. I can't picture what a Nick Gage promo would look like without cussing. And if he, you know, any promo you cut, I don't think it would get over on a bigger level. I really don't. I think the underground thing is part of his appeal. John Moxley, Nick Gage match, definitely must see. Shit, but as far as seeing Nick Gage at the next level, I don't think it would work.
I don't know, dude. I really differ with you. I really differ with you right now. I really differ with you because Nick Gage could fucking put on a match. Nick Gage could put on a match. I mean, I've recorded a few of his matches. I've recorded the one with him and Chuck Charlie.
What's your favorite Nick Gage move?
I really know he doesn't have a moveset. But what it is he's a brawler.
He hits people with shit and he brawls and cusses. He brawls and cusses and hits people with shit. That's it.
It is what it is. I mean, he can transition, I'm pretty sure, dude. If he gets the fucking training, dude, and gets paid enough money and not have to work the indies again in his life and really not have to get hurt, he'll probably transition.
But would he get over? I don't think he could get over, is what I'm saying.
Fuck yes. Yes, he can. Look, Hem Moxley and fucking Kingston could form a faction that could take over the new world, a brand new world order. Deathmatch World Order.
Yeah.
I can make that up.
Order.
Deathmatch World Order. DWO. Deathmatch World Order.
Yeah, I mean, they got MDK faction, but that don't change the fact that all that guy does is brawl. Hey, like, John Moxley can wrestle, bro.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Like,
John Moxley. Look, John Moxley.
Wrestle.
Listen. John Moxley can wrestle.
Yeah. Nick Gage just...
Listen.
He doesn't...
Listen. John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, and Cody Rhodes, and Dustin Rhodes, all of them could fucking train him, dude. They got a fucking factory, dude. They got a factory. They can make it happen.
Nick Gage
can get over at the next level, but he's got to get trained. Like,
I fucking believe it. I fucking believe it, dude. I don't care. I believe that shit.
Hey, literally Marquez, made my point.
Brother Coco T. Ware, Jason, look up Mick fucking Gage. He's been doing it for 20-plus years. Look up Mick fucking Gage, dude. Yes, look it up. And if you want to see some of his later stuff on Horseman, check out the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313. Like, share, and subscribe. I'm telling you, dude, it could happen. I believe in Nick fucking Gage, dude.
You believe that he can be retrained like an old dog to do new tricks?
Hey, watch. I believe it. Fuck it. Look at all these, look, listen to this. Look at all these fucking 40-plus-year-olds doing it, bro.
Yeah,
just because he looks and does what he does. But you got to look at
the mainstream audience. Dude, they shit on everything. Wrestling fans are the worst. Nick Gage would get just destroyed by the internet, the mainstream internet wrestling community.
Listen,
I mean,
once Nick Gage does a promo, listen, when they get him promo ready, when they get him wrestling in the ring ready, listen, they will fucking put out a promo, show his fucking old shit, and people are going to go look it up, they're going to find it, and they're going to fall in love with his old persona and say that that can happen and do in AEW what AEW failed to do when they did that barbed wire death match with Jon Moxley and fucking Kenny Omega, dude. They fucking failed. They fucking failed on it. And when Nick Gage really knowing how to fucking set up death match shit and Jon Moxley knowing how to fix shit and Eddie Kingston at the same time, that's a triple threat, brother. That's a triple threat that you cannot break. And with all of them knowing each other from back in the day, making money, doing wrestling, and being able to do a death match or so in AEW, dude.
And Eddie Kingston can cut a promo without cursing. Like, that's his whole thing. That's his whole...
Okay, but you're not understanding what
he
I'm...
He cusses real loud. He says motherfucker.
But maybe, look, he can... Look, can Hulk Hogan wrestle? Can Hulk Hogan wrestle?
Yeah. He can.
No, he cannot.
You got to check out his shit with Inoki. The guy can wrestle. He just didn't have to. And he can story tell in the ring. And Hogan can cut a promo.
There are a lot of wrestlers. Look, there are a lot of wrestlers in WWE. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. There's a lot of wrestlers in WWE that can fucking not wrestle and are getting over. And there's a lot of wrestlers that get over somewhat even in the mid-card that cannot wrestle. There's wrestlers in the mid there's Listen, it doesn't matter. Even if it goes for a year or two, it doesn't even matter. Cause
there are wrestlers getting over that can't wrestle besides Braun Strowman, who? I can't think of another.
There's a lot of them, dude. During the years, there's a lot of them, dude.
Kali never got over. They put this fucker in the Hall of Fame. He didn't get over.
Exactly. He can't even fucking wrestle, dude. And that ain't his fault. But he can, dude. It is what it is.
If you're
going to
get over and you can't wrestle, you got to be able to cut a promo. Braun Strowman cut a good promo. Actually, he got to get these hand shit over. That's what got him over. And that's it. And... Dude, I don't think Nick Gage has a get these hands line without saying the F word. That'll get him over. And plus, look at him. He's just a regular dude with fucked up teeth. He's essentially me. I cuss. My teeth are fucked up. I could be the next Nick Gage. I don't have to start hitting people in light tubes and overhand wrestling.
Fucking do it. Be Greg the Mark. Be Greg the Mark. What the fuck?
Greg the motherfucking Mark. Because that's what fucking gets over.
There you go,
motherfucker.
Greg the motherfucking Mark, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Rated R, bitch.
Rated
South
motherfucking
fucking
R.
Southwest fucking Texan Diddy Cruz, bitch.
Motherfucker. Oh, motherfucking
yeah,
day.
Motherfucker. This is MDK all day, motherfucker. But I'm telling you, dude, Nick Gage's story would fucking... Listen, dude, if we could get him on the podcast, dude, they're doing the Dark Side of the Ring on Nick fucking Gage. What do you mean? There's only a few stories that you could get on Dark Side of the Ring.
Like that one, what the fuck, I can't think of his name, dude. The cowboy, it was called, I don't know, the cocaine cowboy motherfucker. It was, I think it was XPW.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the UWF.
Yeah,
the guy that you ran the UWF that almost put Vince out of business, except he was doing them fucking drugs and took his own self out. That was that.
Yeah, that guy. That was, I never knew any of that shit. I love Dark Side of the Ring, dude. I love it.
I do, too.
That's actually
May 6th. May
6th.
Dude, I can't wait.
Warholic has a sub-series called War Stories. That's cool. And WrestleMania has their Behind the Titantron stuff. That was their first season, and now it's called The Final Battle.
I love that.
And they get into, those are, like, that and Wrestling Bios is my favorite stuff. And Wrestling Vandy. He's been doing, career retrospective of, he just did Shawn Michaels. He just released yesterday and done, in the last few months. So, yeah, those are the mainstream, I would say, YouTube channels that I watch. Or really just, they got cool little news videos and stuff, too. But I just go out of my way. I'll watch every Wrestling Bio, pretty much little mini documentary thing. And Wrestling with
Did
Andy,
you check out the one on A&E, dude? Did you check out the
on
one
who?
On A&E? On A&E.
No, I don't have cable. I want to see those. The biography series, the 8th part that just started.
Yes. Yes, dude. They were Stone Cold was good as fuck, dude. Stone Cold was good. Stone Cold was good.
By the way, Drake Works was the wrestler you're thinking of. He makes $150,000 a year, $5,000 for a main event, and $2,500 per match. So he's definitely doing better than he was deathmatch wrestling. So
exactly.
There's that, by the way.
So that's what I'm saying. He's doing better than that.
Yeah,
That's
shit.
Great money.
Hell fuck to the air, dude.
That's right.
That's all day. MDK, all day.
Okay. Drake Younger. That's the name I was thinking of, actually. Yeah, that's the guy I was thinking of. He was trained by Ian Rotten, Chris Hero, and Low Key.
Oh, Chris Hero. Cash is Ono for you fans that don't know about the independent scene. That's Cash is Ono.
Chris Hero and Tommy End. Two of the greatest names that'll never be known on the mainstream. Guy, I don't understand. Now, tell me. Chris Hero couldn't get over on the main, That baffles me. Dude.
Yeah,
that
you're right, and he's a fucking he can wrestle, and he's you know what? Like I said, you just gotta try, and if you float, you float. If you sink, you sink. Well, what can you do but try? You know what I mean? But I believe with his fan base, dude, and AEW's people catching that shit when they catch the viewership on the fucking when they do that shit, bro. Watch. Because look how many people got IWTV. I can't tell. Well, let me tell you right now. I'm going to look up how many people got IWTV. I will tell you that right now.
That's not the mainstream audience. They're a different.
It's not.
A different audience. You see it in the group. Their tastes are much different. The Nick Gage thirsty people. And the mainstream audience.
Right.
And I know if Martez knew, he would be on my side, by the way.
Well, I'm pretty sure, but I don't know.
I'm
but
just kidding.
Nick Gage can, I'm telling you, dude, he can get over it. He can get over
it. Without being allowed to cuss?
So how about your boy MM3 losing again?
All right.
Huh?
He didn't.
Huh?
He was not beaten one on one.
Huh?
He was not beaten one on one. He never
got matter.
His
a loss is a
match.
Loss. A loss is a loss.
He did not lose.
A loss.
He did not win.
A loss is a loss.
And
he got the loss off.
Yeah.
He got the loss off.
But
hey,
I tell you, and John Wayne Murdoch wasn't much help.
I don't know what to tell you.
At all.
He lost. He got the loss off.
No, he failed to win. That's
a loss. That's a loss. Did he win the belt? Does he got the belt?
No.
Does he got a belt?
Horror slam. He
does he got
too.
A belt?
Did he get his one-on-one match?
Nope.
He did not. And he earned that. He had to earn that shot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, dude. He didn't win. He didn't win his belt.
He did not win. But he still holds the richest prize in the Midwest, the Midwest Heavyweight Championship.
Yes, he does. I'm not taking away from the man's accolades or the man's talent. That man's talented. That man is ready and timed for the big times in the big leagues, dude. I'm just saying. Facts are facts.
Yeah, we
Was that Breyer?
No.
I heard that.
No, I need to see him. He called me the other day and asked me to come out. I was trying to go see him this week.
Let's go over there. Let's go over there next week.
Yeah, I got to see that guy. I actually thought about going over there today. That's funny you mentioned that. But, yeah, the day didn't allow it. And fuck them kids situation where, man, I had to go rescue my son's girlfriend's car there that consumed most of my afternoon. So, yeah, I wasn't able to make it out there. But we got to get Breyer on and talk to him soon. We got to I'm sure he's got a lot to say. He had a lot to say Friday night, last Friday night. But a lot to say, man. And friend of the show, Finn, and the monster, Congo Kong, have apparently formed an alliance led by the Richie boy. The Richie boy, Breyer Wellington. And, yeah, he was giving the fans the what for, and he, you know, he has a plan. He has a team.
My bad,
and,
y'all. I'm back.
Yeah, Rick Cartier, he was on the bad end of that. But here real soon, we're going to have we're going to see Rick Cartier and possibly an alliance he's looking to form, try to get his revenge because, man, he really took an ass-whooping. And then speaking of taking an ass-whooping, FIA again attacked Chuck Stein after he defeated Statue Jin. And Chuck Stein successfully defended the Horror Slam Deathmatch Championship in a one-on-one match with Statue Jin. Awesome match, brutal, violent match. And, yeah, it was a great night at Horror Slam, great card. And unfortunately, that fucking asshole, Mitch Hewitt, was able to squeeze
Mitch
out a win
bitch.
Against Finstaff. Yeah, they, yeah, damn you, Mitch. We're, said sooner than later, we're going to have a sit-down here on the show with Mitch Hewitt. And I'm going to tell that guy just
Boo.
What I think of him.
Fuck him. He talked about my fucking poster. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
My poster.
Fuck
that guy. Dude, you know what show I kind of want to go to be honest? But I can't because it's, oh, damn it. It's the day of my baby shower. The Mother's Day Mayhem XICW presented. You will get to see the XICW tag, the new XICW tag team champions, the DBA and Rhino from Impact Wrestling, former WWE ECW wrestler, and Cody Deaner from Impact, former Impact wrestler Congo Kong, the United States champion. Man, just Tommy Vendetta with the Extreme Intense Championship. Mongo, man, just a loaded card right here on the poster, man.
You know what? I'm going to probably not survive the comments I'm about to make. I'm sure they're going to get me stabbed and, you know, possibly fatally, likely critically. But, dude, how about DBA jumping on a bandwagon? Him, Jamie Cox.
You're about to get stabbed. Stop. Greg, stop yourself before you get stabbed, goddammit. Stop before you get stabbed.
And what does this guy do? No, no. I'm going to call it as I see it. And DBA jumps on the bandwagon off. Me and Rhino can finally be the one to beat.
DBA, I have nothing to do with these words. Do not stab me. DBA, do not stab me. This is all Greg.
Stab him, too. My views,
no.
My views reflect DBA's opinion.
No, it does not. The reviews do not. His comments do not review with the Southwest Texas. No.
Yeah, DBA said fuck Buddy White too, DBA. By the way.
No.
So, yeah.
I didn't say shit. I didn't say not goddamn. One word.
I remember. I remember you saying it.
No, I did not say shit.
He was like, fuck Buddy White, dude. He was. It's probably on her birthday you said it, too. I'll bet. Yep.
No.
Yep.
No.
But, yeah. Seriously.
I didn't.
That guy, because he knows, or is it that he knows Jamie Cox can't get it done? What is it? There's some explaining to do, DBA. Like, what is it? Are you convinced that Jamie Cox can't get it done with you? Are you carrying that team, or are you jumping on a bandwagon? Which is it? Because DBA and Jamie Cox tried and failed to win the Proving Ground Tag Team Championships from Price and Wick. Price and Wick held those titles for a long time, even pre-pandemic. You know, like Dre Jacobs was the Extreme Intense Champion for like 903 days. And MM3, I believe it was the same night. Oh, no, actually, Dre Jacobs lost the Extreme Intense Championship to Simon Grimm. They remember the vaudevillain Simon, and he won it back like a month later. So MM3's got to be well over 1,000 days as Midwest champion.
Anyway, well over that. Brother Greg, everybody on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, 313 listeners right now. Our interviewee Teddy Hart is on the line. Welcome to the show, Teddy Hart. How's it going, brother?
I'm doing excellent. How are you guys?
Oh, man, we can't complain. You're gracing us with yourself on the show, man. Thank you for taking the invitation to our show.
This is truly an honor for me. And, you know, I just want to tell you that I've been a big fan for a long time. And, you know, I'm very excited to talk to you this evening. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time to join us tonight.
I love my fans. Respect anyone that watches wrestling. It's been a real weird couple of years with the COVID pandemic and this. I guess I don't know if it's a PC movement or something where wrestling fans think they can get on Twitter and there's some kind of, I guess, game going on where you can say whatever you want without any evidence, have nothing to back it up. I think the word substantiating evidence on to make it up, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of promoters that are such pussies now. They got no heart to stand up for their guys or to say the truth or, you know, or even to just to give a second opinion on anything. And I think that's it's really sad when the tail's wagging the dog. I thought WWE did a great job of basically saying to fans, that they didn't give a shit what they were saying, and they haven't for years about the product. They do what they want, and most of the indie promoters don't make money off the fans that are on Twitter. They make money off the fans that are in the building live, and I still think I'm top five in the world for most entertaining wrestlers and nicest wrestlers. If you ever meet me in person, I'll take the shirt off my back and do anything I can to give you time.
Where yeah, I'm looking for positive things and counter arguments to claim media and sustain on social media, such as Twitter and YouTube, man. People like Hannibal being a hypocrite, Daniel having domestic violence on conviction, not just charged on conviction. For a fact, I'm having, many fans who don't have on social media love Teddy Hart, you know, new appreciate his work ethic, such as a being on the same boat as the truth, as the invitation to technical and moves, such as the guys I've had that you had matches on Impact, ECW, WWE, or MLW.
Yeah, I've had a lot of really wonderful experiences the last few years. I want to give GCW some credit for when I did get out of jail, and I was actually a fugitive because I wasn't able to get my bond fixed when I was in Florida. I was doing a WWE rehab for marijuana, which I've been able to stay off the marijuana now for a few years. Something I had a lot of trouble getting off of, so I went to rehab willingly, and the WWE was nice enough to pay for it. And it was during WrestleMania weekend from 4 years or 5 years ago when it was in Orlando.
Wow, yeah, man. That's crazy. And it, such as a talented person as you are, man, I can't believe you're not really saying. Like I told you the other day when we were talking, I watched some of your matches on YouTube, dude, and it's such a crime, dude. You know what I'm saying? Being from the Hart family, Hart, coming from the Hart dungeon, you know, one of the last people to train basically in the Hart dungeon, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things. Just you got to roll with the punches and just hope to God there's a better day, and there's a company like MLW maybe that'll step up in the future and have some balls and get behind work ethic and, you know, five-star matches and creating a controversy and living your character. And if I'm supposed to be the bad guy of wrestling, then let's go with that fact. And if guys want to talk shit and call me out, then the fucking street's a really short walk outside any door to the street, but there's no money in the street. And I'm watching that guy, I think it's Jake Paul, his name is, I believe. He's calling all these guys out, and it's like, well, you know what? I would like to offer an open invitation to guys. Like, I think Hannibal might be a guy that would love to step up, and if you want to knock my teeth out or kick the shit out of me, then step up and build a match for it, and an actual MMA match or a boxing match, and put on the gloves and come kick the shit out of me if you got so much to say about me. These are guys that are supposed to be my friends. Like Chris Dickerson's like a little girl crying, saying, I'm so sorry I took a picture with Teddy Hart. I shouldn't have done that. It's like, you took 10 pictures with me. You gave me a big hug and a kiss, you know, on the cheek, and like, you're happy to see me. So I don't understand how you're that much of a baby that when a couple guys get on you on Twitter, all of a sudden you're running around saying, I don't even like Ted. I wasn't friends with him for the last 15 years or 10 years. And I really feel bad for taking a picture with him. It's like, dude, I took pictures with everybody the first GCW show or the first three shows for the collective. And not one person came up to me with anything but love, respect, and admiration. And then the next day I get a text from Joey Janela, and he doesn't even text me. He texts my manager, Tylee. And he says, I can't have Ted at the show. And then he has enough balls to go on and say he's going to physically have me removed from a show, which I said, okay, no problem. I don't want to be at a show. I'm not welcome. So I went to Danny DeMonto's show, which is another promoter that up until the last time I saw him was my friend, and another chicken shit coward who I've always thought was a chicken shit coward anyway. But I just kind of, you learn to live with those type of people in wrestling, because that's a lot of the people in wrestling are fake supermen. That's why they got into wrestling, not MMA in the first place. And they're not the type of guys that go to the gym. They don't take the wrestling part of it seriously. They take the costume part where they wear their tight little Speedos and they run around with a pair of boots on and a couple tattoos, and they think they're tough guys because they go through a fucking table or they have a light, you know, they take a couple light bulb tubes. It's like, that's fine, but when I punch you in the teeth for real, and I've been boxing for fucking a long time, and we'll see how fast my hands are and how long I've walked around with a full set of teeth in my mouth on the streets all over the planet wearing fucked up outfits and saying whatever the fuck I want to say. Nobody shut me up yet. Not one person stepped outside except for CM Punk, who's got a fucking heart of a lion. but he doesn't have the bite of a fucking gerbil, which is the sad part about it. So I don't want to make my claim to fame that I kicked CM Punk's ass because it means nothing. What means something is
that
CM Punk
TNA
had enough
back
balls.
In the day?
We had enough balls to step outside. At least he stepped outside. I hear all these other guys talk about what they're going to do to me. Some pussy like John Wayne Murdoch, who never hit the fucking gym in his life, comes out with a kendo stick. It's like, bro, if I wasn't on probation, I'll break that kendo stick off and stick it up your ass in 30 seconds. I'll put $5,000 on the line anytime, any place, anywhere. John Wayne Murdoch or that Reed Bentley pussy, skinny-ass, pussy-ass bitch wants to step in the ring. $5,000 on the line. Anyone wants to book it, which I know you guys are not going to do it because you're cowards, but I put my own cash on the line. I always carry cash. $5,000, no problem. Reed Bentley or that other
guy.
Pussy.
Man,
John Wayne,
go.
Whatever his name is. Fucking John
right
Wayne
out.
Murdoch. I don't even know his fucking name, dude. I never heard of the guy. I've been in a locker room a couple times with those guys. Never been a main eventer. Never been anything special. Now all of a sudden, because Danny DeMonto's too cheap to get a fucking ring for WrestleMania, he's got these guys wrestling in a cage, and all of a sudden their balls grow to the size of grapefruits, and they think they're fucking tough guys and MMA fighters. And
isn't
the only
Danny
guy that was
DeMonto
actually nice to
guy?
Me. Pardon me?
Isn't Danny DeMonto the guy Mickey Knuckles slapped the shit out of?
Yep.
Yeah, that, and also beat the shit out of his girlfriend.
Yep.
and got convicted of it, which I never got convicted of any crimes against girls ever. So I have a hard time hearing that I have a domestic violence. When show me a conviction where a judge said guilty, and I'll say yes, it happened then. Until that time, you're hearing bullshit that has no evidence and no backup. And a couple girls over the last 15 years who have ran their mouths, and in court, like I say, any charge I've ever had has been acquitted. And that should be what counts, is the judge's opinion and a lawyer's opinion of how that goes. And the police, like I say, can charge anybody with a crime. It's the judge's job to convict you. It's a jury's job to convict you. And that's what I go on. And that's what the borders go on when you cross them. And that's what the actual facts are when you look for job interviews and things. You see conviction, not just the accusation, which accusations are chicken shit fucking things that I can't stop someone from making an accusation. I can only deal with the court, pay my lawyer, and man the fuck up and do the jail time in between like a man. And that's what I've done. And I'm at that stage now where I'm taking limited bookings, happy because it's not wrestling. I've ever made my money on wrestling. I made my money on the street. I made my money with marijuana dispensaries, made my money with real estate, and just being a smart person, surviving with the wrestling school for years and having smart parents that have money. And like it or not, if you got money and you're smart with it, at this day and age, you can do Bitcoin. And I've been into cryptocurrency for quite a while and done pretty good things with all my stuff. I got a great guy like Kenny Lester who manages my money now and helps me out with things. And my life is, for whatever it looks like, until I deal with my actual trial, every day I live is a great day. I'm happy to be on the earth, and I'm happy to get to talk to the few people out there, or maybe it's more than a few, but the few people out there that seem to appreciate and have love, and they look at facts. And they look at hard work, and they look at work ethic along the lines of, when I say I'm going to be there, I'm there, and I try to risk my life for your entertainment, and smile. And I want you to walk away satisfied that Teddy Hart was a genuine person, looked you in the eye, shook your hand, gave you a hug, and actually wanted to listen to your 5 minutes or 10 minutes of whatever time we're given to each other by God to talk. And that's what life's about, is making relationships and making relationships stick. So when you called me and you got a hold of me on Messenger and you said, hey, I just want to do an interview, and how would we make this happen? I said, listen, man, because you asked, I'm willing and I'm happy to do it. And whatever I can do to make you guys, you know, get into my world. I have these parties probably every 6 months where I bring fans into my house or one of the houses I'm renting or one of my friends' mansions. And we guys come up and we hang out for a couple of days and go for some hibachi. And, you know, usually I can go to the strip clubs and hang out there, but I can't do that, obviously, due to this restriction I have right now. But there's a few nice bars. There's a couple of nice restaurants, I'm sure, in every city that we can make something happen. And I think it's Conrad Thompson does something like that with the fans. And it's like some kind of big meeting where his fans come up, and it's like a retreat. And I'm hoping to do the same thing probably in 6 months. God willing, I'm out of jail and free, and my court case goes well. Then I have all the time in the world after that to make sure fans get to hang out with me. There's a place called the Sausage Castle. Mike Busey has a great place. I think there's parties up there every month. And it's kind of like that type of idea where I think there's a huge interest for fans to come up and hang out with me and to listen to stories and to meet all the people that I've met in my life. There's a lot of rappers I'm working with now that are that are really good rappers. There's a guy named Spiro. There's a guy named Check the Star. These guys are from Tampa, and they have a couple things going on in Costa Rica. We're opening up a few clubs down there. There's another guy in Dubai that's got his company, UWN, which is Ultimate Wrestling Nation, and it looks like it's got some legs and is doing some great things in the future. So I still say shout out to Orlando from Violence and Suffering. The guy's a fucking G, one of the coolest guys on the planet. And another guy named Laborito in Durango from the Anoki Dojo that still have some nuts and they want to book me. And another guy named Eric Ninehouse from Pancrase. And these guys have all stood behind me and said, you know what, until we see Guilty and it's actually stamped by a judge and there's some actual proof of stuff, we're not going to go on secondhand information and talk shit to you. You know, we're not going to do that to you. That's not how we are. Guys, I'm just going to decline this call. I think another fan is calling to say that he's watching this video right now. He doesn't realize it's live, I think, maybe so.
Oh, shit. Nice.
I wanted to ask you a question. Talking about the booking, what happened between you and TKW here in Michigan?
When? When was that booking supposed to be?
I saw a poster for it.
I think they just put me on the poster, guys.
I forget
guys.
What happened.
Is that with Malcolm?
I forget
is that Malcolm
what happened.
And what's his, when was that? A couple years ago?
No, it was within the last year.
No, see, I don't know about that. I never got a call about them booking me for anything. So that's another thing. Sometimes promoters get a quick fix. They put my name on something or somebody wants to put a YouTube video out and they never got more than 1,000 hits in their life, so they put my name on it. And I'm fuck all for famous. I'm not really much, but if you get 10,000 hits for most people that want to jack off and watch a little bit of porn and play on the computer and play Pokemon and shit on their phone, that's a big thing for them, you know. So they feel real important being screen warriors, talking tough and making a video about Teddy fucking Hart.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You mentioned working hard, and I was telling Day-Day earlier, I truly believe, like I said, I don't understand why we don't talk about Teddy Hart, the fucking legend. But because
exactly.
Up, I mean, short of maybe
to be
Owen
honest,
Hart,
I had a lot of questions,
the most
you know, man.
Physical Hart specimen. I mean, athletically, the most athletically gifted of all
dude,
the Harts.
I've seen a video of you.
And
listen, Greg,
like
I've seen a video of this man moonsault take a backflip off of a cage, dude. Dude, this dude is way athletic. Like I said, it's a crime that you're not signed to either WWE, you know what I'm saying, because you're – or AEW.
The crime is that he worked too hard, and that's where he got the hate. I think that's where he got the hate from the people around him and even the promoters, like, you know.
Exactly.
I can, even as a fan, I was, because I'm 39 now, my first favorite wrestler was Tommy Rich. I've always been a wrestling fan, and this was a long time ago that, you know, the Ring of Honor, you know, Teddy Hart stuff was out there, and I was seeing it like, man, I can't wait to see this guy in Mysterio, you know?
Hell yeah.
You guys make my heart sore. I really appreciate that type of compliment because I believe, for me, it was looking in the mirror. And, again, I bless my dad. He gave me a pair of gravity boots because gravity usually can – and I'm going to say explain this to fans. I would think gravity means restriction. Restrictions for a lot of guys is this is how they pay their bills, and this is the only thing they can do. So they won't be able to climb up to a cage and take that chance. Also, we want to talk about faith in God and balls, and I've been brought up to have
Amen.
A lot of faith. I'm, you know, so my faith in God gives me this blanket of protection. Also, I believe fans are magic, that if you truly give your life to these fans, and they know that for this is a fake sport, not fake, we'll say fixed if you want to get onto the technicality of what the word is, but it's not real, it's fantasy. What fucking gain do I have climbing up to the cage, guys? What extra dollar did I get? Why would I take the risk if I'm a fucking, you know, if I'm a supposedly an asshole and I'm an arrogant prick, why would I jump off something once, let alone 1,000 times for one simple thing, which is your clap? A holy shit chant, satisfaction, guaranteed when you watch fucking Teddy Hart. I'm going to do something that 9 out of 10 guys on the planet are not going to be able to do successfully, continuously. It's like a roller coaster. You can only go on it once because it fucking crashes or you fucking kill someone on it. It's not a roller coaster I want to ride. The Teddy Hart roller coaster is supposed to be a guy you watch. You don't know what I'm going to do next. My moveset's always changing. I'm trying to innovate wrestling moves. I'm not there to get a check specifically so I can take risks And I would hope my faith in God and my balls and the fact that my dad set me up to be successful in real life without the indie bookings as a necessity to pay my bills, and that I showed a lot of motherfuckers up straight up. And when guys get fucking showed up, or you work harder than all these guys that are supposed to be experts, or these are the big stars, and I go in there and kick their ass in a fake sport, then they get pissed off and they don't have the nuts to say something in my face. But now they have this, you know, this, I guess, this form. And it's really sad that a little coward like Brett Lauderdale, who started off as a referee, and I'm pretty sure Brett Lauderdale went to rehab for fucking drug abuse. So we want to talk about drugs and fucking hypocrites and all these guys. These guys are all fucked up in their lives and in their past, and they all got a chance to do things, and they all got a chance to rebuild their name, and they've had accidents happen, and they've been forgiven. But the first guy to fucking try to hold me accountable for shit I didn't even do is Brett Lauderdale, which is pathetic. And the guy's been controlling my Twitter, and this is something I say. I don't know how many people you have on your podcast, because it's not about that. If it's one person or 50 or 1,000, I don't really care. I just want the message to get out there that Brett Lauderdale was controlling my Twitter and Nick Gage's Twitter, and he does all the shit for it. So it's like, no problem, Brett. I don't really like to do anything on the computer. I'm not very good at it. Do you mind tweeting stuff about me as me? And years ago, he was talking to Maria Manic before I ever met her, and I guess he was talking to her about meeting up and hooking up and blah, 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 pretending he was me. So when I actually met her, she was so nice to me because she thought we'd been talking for months on Twitter. And then I thought about the danger of having somebody talk for me on Twitter, but I let it slide because I trusted Brett. And I believe that Brett was someone that was going to help push my career, because when it came down to it, I told Brett, listen, I fucked my bond up in Texas, and I'm on the run. I'm a fugitive now, and if you put me on a show, the U.S. Marshals could kick in your door and take me, because you're actually booking a known fugitive. I have a federal warrant for my arrest anywhere, basically, in the states that I'm found. And Brett didn't care. He's like, that's fine, I'll book you anyway. And he booked me 9 times. And now, all of a sudden, 4 years later, he knows the charges I have are the same charges from 4 years ago. It's just a probation violation. So the charges that I was given probation for are brought back to the table. Hannibal knows the same thing. How? Because he did an interview with me 4 years ago where he took me out and he took Maria out. One of the WWE divas. He took her out, me, her, and another girl and another guy. All of us went out for dinner, and he did a shoot interview at my house. He's well aware exactly of the charges, and it's the same charge from 4 years ago. He loves to bring it up like it's a new charge. Teddy got a charge of disabled. He knows it wasn't old, elderly, or child. When the charges are out there, it's elderly, disabled, or child, one of the three. So the charges that I supposedly, again, not convicted, slapped a disabled guy who wasn't disabled at all. The guy was a fucking known drug addict who was in our house, who was trying to take a wrestling school to be a referee. And Machiko, whether she wants to tell the truth on it or not, was also responsible for slapping the shit out of the guy because he burnt a bunch of her stuff. And he really did light a fire in our house, and we called the police, which I don't like to do, but Machiko thought it was the right decision to call the police. The guy disappeared for 2 days. He came back the third day, and he had gone to the police, said he was disabled. He didn't know what he was doing, and it was an accident. And they believed his bullshit story, and they charged me with assault on a disabled guy. And that was the charge 5 years ago. I did 4 years of probation, and I got charged again in Virginia for a gram of marijuana. Every other charge was dropped in Virginia. So people say a distribution charge. Teddy was caught selling drugs. Not true. Charged because I had a large amount of money on me. Went to the courts, explained it to the lawyer, explained it to the judge, dropped the charge, dropped the charge, dropped the charge. All three charges were dropped. Domestic violence, dropped the charge. So it's like those charges don't exist. I'm on the same fucking charge from 5 years ago, which is evading arrest charge, which was from 4.5 years ago, which was, again, given probation for. Now I'm back on the table for it. An assault on a child, elderly, don't exist, on a disabled guy. I'll take that claim and say, again, if you met the guy, you'd know he wasn't disabled. It was a joke. And possession of one pill, which was an Adderall pill or an ephedrine pill, fat burner pill, which, again, when they found the pill and they did the examination on it, they said it's got a precursor to methamphetamine, but it's not methamphetamine. I've never done meth, never done coke, never taken a fucking painkiller in my life, not once. So I have a hard time when guys talk shit about drugs when I know that guy snipping lines in the fucking bathroom at a bar off the toilet seat. And I don't want to point out names to a bunch of junkie wrestlers out there that smoke crack and do meth and do coke and fucking party and take pills that are pissed, shit-faced drunk, making fools of themselves. I even have video of some of these dumbasses. Like, you'd be surprised who tries to score drugs and they don't realize, you know what, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to sit there and not defend myself anymore. So you can ask Brett Lauderdale what happens when I take a picture with him in Dallas, and I have about 10 of them, and a video recording of him talking all sorts of crazy shit. And I'm not a rat, and I'm not going to put it out there. I just got to keep it in the back pocket. Joey Janela's got enough nuts to send a message to my girlfriend, but he doesn't want to fucking call me face-to-face. I know Joey's another guy, seemed like a good guy, seemed like a friend. I think he's a pussy now. Another guy, if I see him on the street and he wants to talk tough, I'll slap the living shit out of that fucking pussy right away. And I don't think he's going to say fuck all to me. You have my phone number, call me up. Like I called Myron Reed up, absolute gentleman. I explained to him what MLW said was bullshit. He said, dude, he goes, I want to work the angle a little bit. You never know when we're going to work again. I'm a huge fan of yours. Gave me a hug. Super talented guy. If I didn't want to drop the belt to him, I would have fucking walked out of the match and not dropped the belt. I wasn't an MLW for the fucking money, that's for sure. I was there because I love Court Bauer, and St. Laurent had a lot of balls to book me and to give me a push, and I thank those guys from the bottom of my heart, as I still thank Brett a little bit for booking me originally and getting me back on my feet and getting me back on the horse. But once I'm on the horse and I'm trying to get back into, you know, into the flow of things, and I see all these fucking cowards shutting the door on me and thinking they're going to block me or get me canceled, it's fucking impossible, guys, because I own enough promoters out there, and I would say relationships where I'll just book my own shows then. And I don't care if 500 fucking fans on Twitter out of 50 million people on the fucking planet cry, or 50 million wrestling fans on the planet cry, and there's 5,000 whiners on Twitter that hide behind a screen and they got 10 different accounts all talking the same bullshit. Like I say, dude, come up to me at the show and say something to my face. I would love to see it happen. I've been waiting for that. I'm done ranting, guys. You guys might have some questions for me. If you guys are, like I say, I don't know what the what your interview like style usually is, but I just had to get some shit off my chest there and kind of give you guys a thanks for letting me talk and letting me express myself, because I'm frustrated, but at the same time, I need to vent, and there's going to be a lot of people that are getting receipts now, and they can just wait and watch what happens to a guy. I warned everybody, you don't really want to fuck Teddy Hart over when I'm your friend, and I've done nothing but help you guys out, and I've been a gentleman for a long, long time, and really, really good to a lot of wrestlers in the back, and I haven't heard a lot of wrestlers defend any wrestler. Most of the wrestlers let you sink. Like, Rich Swann's one of the coolest motherfuckers on the planet. Coolest motherfuckers. Jungle Boy, coolest motherfuckers I've ever met. Luchasaurus, unbelievable guy. Young Bucks, unbelievable guy. MJF, really, really nice guy. Jericho was always good to me. Kevin Nash was always good to me. Razor Ramon was always good to me. X-Pac was good to me. There's so many guys. Godfather came to my house. Mabel came to my house. Demolition came to my house. Scott Steiner came to my house. Like, every guy, all friends of mine. These are all solid motherfuckers, you know. I don't have to worry about some pussy, like, they go on Twitter, and I'll send Chris Dickerson, who's met me maybe 10 times over 10 years at indie shows. We pretend to be friends. I don't remember anybody else calling Chris Dickerson up when he was in England and saying, hey, Chris, you look phenomenal. Congratulations on all the hard work. I'm a fucking huge fan of yours because you've been working out and you've been getting better and better and better. And actually call a guy on my off time to say fucking good job or congratulations. Like, Killer Cross, you know, he's in WWE now, was with me in MLW, or was with me in AAA, fucking stud, hardworking, really nice guy. Same with Kira, now she's in WWE, Taya, she's making big money. I met her years ago working at Cowboys, and she was awesome, came to Mexico, salt of the earth, wonderful person, deserves her push, deserves that opportunity. Ricochet, met him a few times, did an interview with him, had a match with him, one of the greatest professional wrestlers on the fucking planet. JT Dunn, another guy, and I'm just dropping name after name after name, because there's so many guys that I've been in the ring with. Darby Allin, another one of the guys. I met him twice, I think, three times, had a match with him in Limitless. Kicked the living fuck out of the guy. He was tougher than any wrestler I've ever been in the ring with. Not a scratch on him. Wow. At the end of the match. Gave me a hug, said it was fantastic. Thank you for the match. He never hurt me. Everything was great. Super professional. 2 years later, he's in the ring with Sting making fucking big money. Congratulations to all these guys. Pentagon Phoenix, I watched them grow up. I was at a school in Mexico. Wow. With Pentagon when he was just a kid, just starting. No one knew who he was. He came up to me and goes, you remember me? You helped with me. You helped me train me. I said, I had the first match with Phoenix ever. I had the first big match right before El Generico went to WWE. I was the last match he had. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, another guy, helped to get them in Jersey All-Pro because they were solid workers from Montreal. I wanted to open the door. All I do is facilitate opportunities for other guys to get work, run a couple dojos, run a couple seminars, and try to teach guys cool shit and keep innovating wrestling moves so guys don't get sick of watching fucking wrestling, and everybody's watching MMA now because wrestling's boring and guys are fucking lazy and they do the same fucking moves all the time, and then a bunch of rest holds fall. Calling it technical wrestling when it's fucking lazy, you know, holding a headlock, like watching two fucking guys jack off fucking doing nothing on a porno. Show me a hot chick and another guy, fucking girl on guy to me, because I'm not nothing against the gay people out there. Do whatever you want, man. All the power to you. Half the people that are gay are the ones that love me and give me a compliment. They're the only ones that see beauty still for whatever it's worth. They're the ones that come up to me and give me, you know, validation. Now, they appreciate my outfit. So, but for me, like I say, as what I want to see in a video, I want to see a hot chick and a guy with a big fucking dick doing a porno. That's what I would like to watch if I'm watching something. That's the same thing as I want to see two motherfucking wrestlers go in there and actually wrestle, that are in shape, that have cool gear, that did their hair right, that have a good gimmick, that know how to do some fucking moves, and I don't know what move they're going to do next. You know, nothing's worse than watching a movie and you know exactly what's going to happen. There's no suspense.
Yeah.
No climax.
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
Style is typically to let our guests put over, promote anything they want. We can do it. Shoot, gimmick, the platform we try to offer. So really, this is perfect.
I am putting on this navigation system real quick, guys, to try to find the house that I'm going to. So if you hear like a little background sound, it's just the maps navigation system trying to take me to where I need to go.
Platform. Actually, when the show started, I was just leaving the gas station and my truck had broke down. I had my truck wouldn't start there for a minute, but you know. That's the beauty of it.
Got it.
Very convenient.
How long have you guys had your podcast for?
Almost 2 years.
Cool. And what is your, are you a wrestler? Do you wrestle? Because I don't know anything about you guys. Remember, like, you guys cold called me basically a couple days ago and wanted to arrange this interview, and I was happy to oblige.
Oh,
so
no, man.
We're a couple of wrestling fans from Metro Detroit that, you know, being around the indie scene, just been real fortunate to get to know some really cool people and be given some really cool opportunities. And, to classify us, I would say we're fans.
Are you guys big Bret Hart fans?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
no
a huge
doubt.
Bret
That's...
Hart fan. It's because of Bret Hart I fell in love with the Winged Eagle as my favorite championship.
Yep.
I was a big Bret Hart guy, dude.
Give me
one second,
guys. I have to take this call for 1 second. I apologize. It's my dispensary partner.
Problem.
We have a dispensary in Oklahoma right now, so just 1 second.
Yeah, perfect. That's right, man. This is great. Tonight we don't have gorilla positions, so we're gonna continue with Teddy Hart here.
We're gonna continue with Teddy Hart. Yeah,
this is the biggest interview we've ever done. The first time I was ever starstruck to talk to our guest. You know.
Yep, exactly. Me too. I feel the same way, dude. And he's such a humble dude, like you said. If you meet him, I'm pretty sure if you meet him in real life, he's such a humble guy. Even just talking.
Yeah. Ask him about the cast, too, because there's something I got to ask him about the cast, because that's one thing, like you were saying about fans, like all these people talking shit to him, anybody who's ever met Teddy Hart will tell you he was so nice, dude. His cat was so nice. I held his cat, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
His pictures with him. Everybody.
Well, I want to ask him about the JCW, the show that he just did. I want to ask him about that JCW show that he did with Breyer and everybody. With Congo, Rhino, all them.
Yeah.
Oh,
man, and,
it's the ICP guys have been fucking gold to me, man. They treated me like family, and I consider
Brian
myself
is good
honored,
friends of ours.
Yeah, an honored member of the Juggalo community, man. Those guys helped me in jail. When I was in jail, and I told them about my relationship with Violent J and Shaggy, and they were just like The guys have been super nice. They gave me a belt. They gave me a big push, and they booked me when no one else really felt like it was good timing to book me. I'm the first wrestler to wrestle with an ankle monitor that I know of, and we did that match in their house, and they let me destroy their fucking house. They paid me a huge amount of money, way more than I've ever been paid for a booking, and they gave me a big bonus, which at the end of the night, the guy came up to me, and he just put a big wad of cash in my hand and said, here, he goes, what you did for us was amazing. You went above and beyond, as you always do, and we're huge fans of your family, and we're huge fans of your work ethic and innovation, and we watched you for years, and we're proud to have you be part of our team. And those are guys, like I say, that are multimillionaires, very successful, and I hope to do more shows with them. And just speaking of Rhino, another guy, I met Rhino 22 years ago, I think, at the WWE First Dojo. And he's been a hardworking guy and a class act, very humble and very kind to me. And Congo Kong, same thing, big, huge monster, killed me with kindness instead of ignorance and blindness. And just everyone I've met, like I say, in person, I haven't had anybody say anything. Danny DeMonto's the first piece of shit pussy that talked shit to me, and he didn't say anything until he called somebody, and they said, oh, you're taking Teddy, you're going viral on Twitter because someone took a picture with me and Danny DeMonto at his show after I bought 5 tickets to a show that had less than 50 people. So I bought 5 tickets online, trying to support the show, wasn't told anything prior, went to the show. And after the show was over, which was I was only there for 10 minutes, they asked me to walk outside, so I did. And they were upset because a few fans, probably 6 of them, followed me outside to get free pictures. And they said after, I guess, a couple guys got hot, jealous, whatever, they thought they could get a camera, get some cheap heat, and come outside. 6 guys on one. I'm with 4 girls and one guy who's a cameraman. And I have a cameraman that takes pictures for fans so he can send them an actual really nice picture because he brings his lighting crew and he has a $10,000 camera he carries around with him. Only so I can make fans' dreams come true, because I was with Joe Malenko and Joe Gomez, and they said that one of the things that really makes you stand out is taking pictures with fans. And then 10 years later, you got a fan with a picture of you, and that's how he remembers you, and that's his timeline, and that's his experience with you. And if it was a positive experience, that's my claim to fame, and that's my life jacket into heaven, that on the planet Earth, I've been such a nice person that I don't care about some really shitty, boring haters on Twitter that have nothing to do but talk shit about a guy they've never met. Most of them have never met me, and I have a hard time making an opinion about someone I've never met. And that's why I'm calling guys out now, saying, you know what, it's a shame. I was with Schlack, who another guy kills himself in the ring.
That's my
and when I talk to him,
I love Schlack, man. Dude, I love
so
Schlack.
Nice, dude.
I'm sorry.
Such a nice guy. Me and him, they tried to make some heat, and they thought we'd have some heat. When I saw him, class act, gave me a big hug. I took a few pictures with him. My favorite guy in the business is Dick Gage, probably. Nobody understands how tough that motherfucker
dude,
is, dude.
Hey, can I ask you a question about Nick Gage? Look, listen,
yeah.
Greg, now,
king,
you know
dude.
What?
The fucking king.
Listen,
the king, Nick Gage.
Listen,
the fucking
I love
king
Nick
hardcore,
Gage.
Dude.
Listen, I totally fucking agree with you. Listen, nice guy, nicest guy in the world, just
yeah.
like Schlack. Just like Schlack. Listen,
let me ask
I'm going to ask the question. Do you think that Nick Gage can make
what
it in AEW with his persona?
Absolutely. They should give him a fucking chance.
Thank
he
you.
Would be unbelievable on
Thank
TV.
You.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't think, I am of the opinion, I don't think Nick Gage could get over with the mainstream audience without being able to cuss in a promo. I think he's so good.
Either beep the shit out, because who gives a fuck? If you're beeping it out, it makes it even cooler. It's no one heard the actual swear word. Take a bit of time and pay your editors. You got all the money in the fucking world. And or just tell him not to swear. He's such a smart guy. You guys are talking about a guy that did multiple years in jail, really hard jail time in a fucking really bad jail system in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. Came out of jail bigger, faster, stronger, and just fucking lit it up on the indies. The guy is a fucking prince. He's the king of the fucking indies
yeah.
for hardcore wrestling. And just one of the greatest, nicest human beings I've ever met, dude. And goes so far
yeah.
out of his way to make sure fans don't feel like they're superstars. That's another guy, like I say, dude, I've met so many guys, and I could put over guys for the next hour straight of all the guys I love in wrestling and how cool they are, and that it's a shame that they have to put a cap on not being able to say something true about Teddy Hart, which is, I believe the truth would be that we never had a problem, and they had a great match with me, and that they love me dearly, and it's a shame that guys are forced now, like poor Chris Dickerson is forced to put his tail between his legs and tuck his balls up like the guy in fucking Silence of the Lambs when he puts his balls between his legs and walks around like he's got a fucking pussy all of a sudden, and he's fucking playing
yeah.
that game, dancing around. That's some gay
God,
ass, some pussy
God.
Ass shit, dude. You know, so, but you guys, I've I've basically I said my piece, and if you guys have a few questions, like I say, I have to drop off my rental car. I have a show tomorrow on Saturday, and I'm going to be flying out tomorrow afternoon, so I'm having to drop off my rental car. And
I'll give you two questions. If Greg, if you want to give him one or two, that way we can let him go, or I'll go just one. And Martez, brother, if you got one, you can go. But one question I got to ask you, besides like you were asking us about Bret Hart, what influence did Bret and Owen Hart both have you individually and both, you know, together, you know, for you to be in the game and to make you as good as a wrestler as you are now, not signing? That's just crazy and a crime to me.
Work ethic and innovation. Bret was always trying to create a different style. His psychology, his storytelling abilities have never been matched to this day. The way he put together a match and the way he made every guy in the ring look good. He was able to find the positives and the attributes that every wrestler he ever worked had, and he would exploit them in the right way to make them better and to make the match better and to make the company better, because the better the company was. Tom McGee was a prime example of that. I mean, Kevin Nash was a prime example. Him and Shawn Michaels, prime example. Every guy, Stone Cold Steve Austin will say the same thing. Undertaker will say the same thing. Anytime you got in the ring with Bret Hart, you knew, and this is something I always say, that Sabu had a story to me. It's like, it doesn't matter if there's 5 people, 50 people, 500 people, or 5,000 or 20,000. You don't fucking mail it in. And you don't have a bad match. You work your ass off to make sure things happen. And that's all you can do is continue to try to be innovative and to try to follow in the footsteps of some of the guys that made this possible. They built the bridge. And, you know, Bret over the years has burned a few of the bridges that I try to cross over. But those are his bridges he built. And if a guy that built the bridge decides to burn the bridge, all I can do is hope to crawl underneath the fucking bridge and fix it on the other side if it's possible. And thank God for Tyson Kidd and Natalya for doing such a great job and keeping the Hart name alive. And thank God for Owen's memory being held in such high regard that people remember Owen and they keep his name alive and they talk about him, because it's a shame he's not in the Hall of Fame. And it's a shame that Davey Boy Smith was inducted into the Hall of Fame, but there was no fans in the actual building for that induction. But the way they did it, I thought WWE did a really nice job of fixing that still and making sure that every one of those guys still got to walk out with the live audience and get that cheer and get that notoriety and to get that pop again, because that's what it's all about. That type of drug's addicting, and that's the addiction of being wanted and being appreciated and being loved, and that's all you can ask for as a wrestler. You know, I woke up in the morning 25 years ago with the dream of being appreciated, and that I knew someday I'm going to be answering to God, and I'm going to answer God with the question of what did you do on earth, and I'm going to say I did backflips and fucking Canadian destroyers and tried to innovate wrestling and tried to be the most creative and controversial character ever, because I think that fans really decided a long time ago that work ethic mattered and innovation mattered, and being kind to people on the street gives you a blanket of protection that's kept me safe over the years, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And
is actually not even related to wrestling. I actually want to ask you about your cats, because I love animals, especially dogs, and I'm not particularly fond of cats, because cats like their people, and that's it. But that's something I've always heard, is that
like my own
your
cats
love everybody.
I train these
the
cats from birth.
Cat? Is it the way you raise them?
Yeah.
How?
Both. I'll say the Persians are extra docile. I bred a ragdoll Persian for years to get certain qualities out of those cats, and then just carrying them around from birth, bringing them in the car, bringing them into bars, bringing them into strip clubs, letting them listen to loud music, constantly treating them like they're a roommate, you know, rather than a fucking pet. I treat them like they're my brother or they're my child. And I just carrying them around and training from a young age. It's the same principle or premise I have with wrestling. If you teach a kid wrestling, he's going to be a better adult he's going to be a better wrestler when he's an adult, because these things become second nature to him. Practice makes perfect, and you follow routine. I always have a routine with the cats, And that's something I did for fans, because sometimes it's hard to come up to me. Fans are intimidated, or they see something that they don't understand. And sometimes when you don't understand something, you're scared of it. And instead of being scared of me, they come up to me to talk to me about the cat. And sometimes kids come up to me to talk about the cat or see the cat. And that gives me that opportunity to interact with people. That's all I can really do, again, is hope to get that interaction and to make a relationship and to make that relationship a positive one.
Hell yeah. I got one question for you, man, and it's not even wrestling related. When my son turns of age, man, I'm gonna keep in touch with you. I want my son to go train with you. He's about to be born the first week of June.
Absolutely. I can't wait to meet you and meet your son, guys, and please, as I say, continue the relationship with me. We're friends for life, dude. I don't make fans into enemies. I try to make fans into family. And that's one thing, like I say, if you've ever met me, give me the 5 minutes to talk to me before you judge me. It's a book you never read. Take 5 minutes to at least fucking flip through it and read a few pages of it, and then you can tell me something. But if you don't know anything, I don't want to hear something negative. And, again, keep talking shit, guys. It's your own fucking karma that's going to catch you. I've been dealing with my karma, and I've been trying to clean my karma up and get my life back on track. I've made some mistakes. I'm far from perfect, but I'm far from the monster that a lot of these assholes have tried to make me out to be. And that's fear. I really think of the measuring stick. I call it the small dick syndrome. A lot of guys have small little dicks, and they're afraid to see a guy with a fucking 10-inch cock walk around the fucking room, you know. And that's, I'm not saying that about me specifically. I'm just saying, as athletic ability, those guys are afraid to fucking, they're afraid to step in the fucking ring with the king of the Indies for a reason.
Hell yeah. And you know what? I'm about to send you that PayPal to send my son that shirt in the picture for sure. I'm going to send it tomorrow. So you're sick. I can't wait for that,
too.
Wait.
Yeah, I'll send you a copy of what the shirt looks like in about 5 minutes, and then send me your address, and then we'll discuss the PayPal details or the Cash App details. You already Cash Apped. You've already done the stuff with me, so you know the system. And then just want to say thanks again to God for allowing me to have the freedom right now to be out and to be able to this interview and to still be walking and not in a wheelchair and to be healthy. And to all the people out there that love wrestling and that love life and that wanted to see wrestling progress, and all the guys over the years that have had great matches with me, thank you guys for the blessing, and I hope to God we get to meet in the future and that things start to loosen up a bit and there's not so many tight-ass pussies trying to run wrestling off a fucking media sketchboard from Facebook or from Twitter. Those guys, I really don't think they deserve to be running the wrestling business, and there's a lot of guys that are coming up in the future that deserve opportunities, and I think the opportunity of getting in the ring with Teddy Hart's only going to make him better. And again, that's basically my spiel. And $5,000 to any one of those pussies that wants to step in the ring, and it's easy to get a hold of me. Call Brett Lauderdale. He seems to be running the independent wrestling world. If you want to get a hold of him, and he also has my Twitter hijacked for the last 3 years or something like that. I've asked him nicely just to give me back the code so I can talk on Twitter and defend myself. I just want to defend myself. That's the only thing.
Go whoop Logan's ass.
Yeah. So, but you guys have been really awesome, dude.
Love to meet you.
I can't wait to come see you guys. We'll make that happen for sure. And then just let me know again how things went. I'm sure you'll get some good reviews on the podcast. I'm sure you'll get some shitty ones. Like I say, that's the best thing about life is free time, free choice, and people can have an opinion. It's like an asshole. Everyone's got one, and everyone's got an opinion. Some people are assholes with their opinion, though, and some people are straight-up gangster, and they're cool as shit, and those are the people I want to attract into my life.
Hey, but you know what? You can't make chicken salad out of chicken shit, so there you go.
Exactly. And there's a lot of chicken shit cowards that are fucking making chicken salad that tastes like fucking ass.
Chicken booty.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, man, we'll let you do what you're doing. I'll send you that PayPal so we can get that shirt going, and we'll make it happen when you come to Michigan, man. I can't wait.
I cannot
wait. God bless you. Thank you guys so much. God bless you guys again. Appreciate it. I'll call you guys in about an hour to touch base with you, okay?
For sure, brother.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Teddy Hart is the fucking man.
He's the man, dude. He is the fucking
when
man.
He says,
brother Montez.
I believe him. He's a genuine dude.
He is.
And I've never heard anything but positive things from people who've actually met the guy. Honestly.
I can't wait till my son turns 14. When my son's 14 years old, he's going to Teddy Hart to train, boy.
We've had a lot of... I'm sorry, Greg, for cutting you off.
Sorry, go ahead.
We've had a lot of mainstream, non-mainstream people come on these airwaves, this platform. And it's no disrespect to the gorilla position, my two cents on wrestling, even my show, Wrestle Talking to D. But I'm going to have to give y'all some credit. This is the best guest I've ever heard on this platform ever. You know, like, this was amazing. This was amazing. You know, this was amazing.
I have to agree. Dude, and Brother Martez, thank you again for letting us be on this platform and for making it happen. You're the man. You're the real hustle. You're the real muscle behind the muscle, brother.
Bless you, man. But, yeah, y'all put in the work, man. So this was really good one. I'm impressed. I'm really impressed.
This one's all day, brother. This one's all day. I can take zero credit for this. I mean, if you remember, we had Teddy Hart to come on. That's, again, what a genuine dude. He was set to come on. It was that Thursday. I was in the hospital, actually. That it didn't work out.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, he actually had some medical issues at the time. He's like, yeah, we'll figure it back out. Because I was so excited because I've always been a huge Teddy Hart mark. This is the
Me
first
too,
time
dude.
I've ever
like I said.
Starstruck while talking to a guest.
Yeah. And you know, I always love when somebody's not afraid to, because I'm pretty biased. I love when somebody's not afraid to talk about their love for God or mention God. You know, he really won me over when he started to. I just think that was amazing, too.
Yeah, I want to know, you know, we'll show a face for sure that, you know, we're definitely with him everything he said, you know, when he mentioned God, I 100%. Support every statement he made, you know, thanking God for another day. He's been on the other end. He was in jail awaiting court. You know what I mean? I've been there, man. I know what it's like to appreciate the day and even small freedoms that you have ahead of you, even when, you know, this guy's freedom's restricted by some shit he's got going on, but he's still thanking God for the freedoms that he does have. And, you know, that's awesome to be able to see things in that light.
And dude,
it's hard for
the coolest thing about the whole
to always see the bright side of things.
The coolest thing about it is that one day we're all going to be able to do a lunch with him. Us three are going to be able to do a lunch with the man.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, because it's definitely going to get drug out for that one. When Teddy Hart comes to town, you are going with us.
It's on me. This is going to be on me. Just like this interview was on me, I'm gonna pay for that man's dinner, and I'm going to make sure he has a fucking good-ass fucking steak.
Hey, y'all going to be best friends, Daddy.
Hey.
Like I said,
that's going to be the man to train my son, so, hey, I'm going to have to.
That's what's up, man.
My son's about to get trained by Teddy fucking Hart, God damn it. And he ain't even born yet. My son ain't even born yet.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Book it. That's great.
That's awesome, dude. He's a fucking great guy, man. And I can't wait to have him back on the show.
Yeah, me neither. I'm so... This was definitely... The greatest
and,
thing.
And
I
what I tell you about
with.
Nick Gage, what I tell you about Nick fucking Gage, I told you he can do it.
Say I disagree with Teddy Hart. Teddy Hart does know him better than we do, though, and he said, you know, I've never had a
exactly
with Nick Gage. He said Nick Gage is an intelligent guy that could FIO.
FIO and FIO Nick Gage will do. Like I said, you come out the factory, dude, you're going to do something great. And Nick fucking Gage can do a fucking old dog trick.
Maybe he can do the crush fresh out of prison gimmick that they had
Remember when Truck came with his earring was connected to his nose and shit, and he had a fake face tattoo and shit?
This guy
was in jail for a while.
Fuck it, dude. Fuck it. Do what you do. Shit. That's right. It is what it is.
Nailed.
It is what it is.
He'd be nailed. That's Nick Gage's
gimmick. Nick fucking Gage, dude. Nick Gage, if you're listening, well, hopefully, hopefully we can get Nick Gage on the show.
We could.
I'm going to make
that
it happen. I'm going to. Everybody that's listening right now, the Southwest Texan promise is not, we'll see. I know for sure it'll happen, but when, I'm not going to say. But Nick fucking Gage, the king of fucking deathmatch wrestling, will be on the fucking Radar Wrestling Podcast 313. I promise that.
I might be sick that Thursday.
I'm going to make that happen.
Nick Gage finds out why I say he might.
But you know what? With the deathmatch wrestlers, with the deathmatch wrestlers coming on, now we're gonna bring in the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast 313 like a little collabo. We're gonna probably do a little YouTube live, and maybe you know what I'm saying, on the line with the wrestlers. We'll just record us talking to the wrestlers. We'll do the Deathmatch Wrestling Podcast on YouTube with a crossover of Open Talk Radio.
Yeah, we definitely, and hey, the season's coming. Some fresh content's coming to the Deathmatch 313 Wrestling Podcast real fucking soon. We got another, you know, we got another Horror Slam show coming up. We definitely got some, we're going to have some good opportunities to get some good action, and you can find it on the Deathmatch 313 Wrestling Podcast on YouTube.
For sure. So, with that being said, from the Southwest Texan Dead Egg Crew, thank my brother Greg DeMart, our brother Martez, the hustle behind the muscle. Hey, we love you guys from the Rated R. Have a great night.
God bless.
Man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan Day Day Cruise. Yeah. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interesting. We got that. The Southwest Texan Day Day Cruise. Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes.
They go.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Nonstop action, interesting. We got that.
Woo.
The Southwest Texan Day Day Cruise. Mark and Martin, they them dudes.
Yo, it's your boy, Day Day Crew. I'm out here making moves. How the hell can I lose when I'm the one that made the rules? All I see is the money. You can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast is what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martez. I run with winners, homie. I can't fail. You say you undefeated in a match. We gon' see. Open Talk Radio, the Flash 313. From WWE to NXT. All elite wrestling, we discuss these. We just trying to make a positive impact. We putting over every single wrestler who did